Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you, Paula? Right now, you're the only one, but there'll be more joining us usually.
Okay.
And I know you have some questions to ask, so we'll kind of wait until we have more people to start.
Okay.
And if nobody comes in one more minute, we'll start.
Okay. Stay up so late and then get up so early.
Malka.
Good evening, Malka. Do you have any questions, Malka? I know Paula does.
No, sir.
Okay. Paula, why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
We were talking about the principles behind us not being cremated, and my question was, what if you're, if the people that would be involved with your burial are not Jewish?
Well,
and cremation is a lot cheaper.
Well, the whole issue becomes one of money and investment. So the basic approach is most people don't deal with death in advance. And because they don't deal with death in advance, their descendants or their relatives, whether they're Jewish or not, are then stuck with the issue of dealing with it. So the question is, what is the cost? And the cost depends upon many different factors. But if you accept, as a Jewish person, if you accept the process of a Jewish burial, and you direct that in advance, you can end up with a no-frills burial in a Jewish cemetery for approximately $2,500. And
wow.
If you are, my understanding is that a cremation will run about $800. And you can make arrangements for that in advance. Also,
for the $2,500.
There are Jewish organizations. There are Jewish organizations that will provide monies to people if they to have a Jewish burial. So you never really have to depend on non-Jewish family members, but you have to take them the bull by the horn and make the plans in advance. You have to contact the mortuary, sit down with their advisor who is trying to sell you something, and then start a weekly or a monthly payment towards the type of burial that you want. If your relatives are not Jewish, they don't have access to your resources, but they have the responsibility to get you buried. The reality of that is, as if they're not going to follow your wishes of being buried as a Jew, there are organizations that will step up and make sure that that takes place. But your will, is what defines it. And you have to have that written and have it legalized and do all of the things in advance. But as long as you're willing to do that, there will not be a problem. If you don't do that, then what you're just depending on is whoever is the relative according to civil law, they will have that responsibility. And if they don't step up, then there are organizations within the government that do it, but they do it based on what they want, not based on the religion. So
okay.
That's a general answer to your question.
Okay.
But if you're part of a community, if you have a rabbi, you sit and talk with him as well as with the mortuary. If you don't have a rabbi, you're not part of the community per se, the mortuary will put you in contact with various rabbis of various denominations who will give you advice.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions?
No. A time frame to be placed once you are deceased? Is there a time limit to be buried from a Jewish perspective?
The Jewish perspective is you're buried as rapidly as possible.
Yeah.
If you are under a doctor's care at the time of your death, it can be the same day. But typically it's the next day or at latest 2 days later. You're not going to be buried on a Shabbat. And if you died Friday afternoon, it more than likely the burial would be Sunday. But you could even be buried before Shabbat, except in the winter, because if you died like 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, it's not going to happen by 4 o'clock when the sun sets. So, and this also applies to holidays. So if you have a two-day holiday, somebody dies the day before, or on the holiday, they will be buried as soon as possible afterwards. Now, if you aren't under a doctor's care, according to civil law, many jurisdictions, and I'm not sure what Georgia is like, but many jurisdictions require an autopsy, a verification that it's not a murder. So, that process can take as long, can take a week or 10 days. And all the time that that's happening, what we understand the way the soul and the body relationships are, the soul is confused because it's died, but it doesn't really know that it has died. There's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of pain to the soul in that environment. And that's why the sooner the body is buried, the sooner it starts to decay. And that's the sooner that you can get the soul released from its attachment to the body.
Well, with the autopsy, don't they drain the blood out of the body? Isn't that against Jewish rituals?
No, they don't. Again, if you make plans in advance, the mortuary is going to follow the directions of the group of the community that you belong to. So in an Orthodox community, they drain the blood, but they don't really drain the blood. Because you can't drain the blood from the body when the body's dead. There's nothing to pump it out. So what they have to do, you know, they have to flush the veins with water, saline, all these different materials, and that's where you get the idea of the replacing the blood with whatever, I forget the name of the chemical that the other religions utilize. And I'm not even sure exactly what the Orthodox procedure is, but if the body is truly dead, the blood is not going to leave without something else replacing it and forcing it out. And so that really isn't done.
Okay, well, I was just thinking along the lines.
Go ahead.
I was thinking along the lines that your blood is supposed to be covered up by the earth. If the blood is spilled, it's supposed to be covered right away with earth. And I think with autopsies, don't they drain it into some kind of cistern?
I don't know what other groups do.
Okay.
And I'm not even that familiar with what Jewish groups do, because my orientation is that we don't have to die. And so I'm not looking forward to it. And even when I say if you plan ahead, I think it's important that you plan ahead with the understanding that you don't want it to happen, but in the case it does, you've dealt with it and you've relieved the burden and the pain from your children and your grandchildren and from your relatives. Because in that situation, when they're stressed, when they really are not experienced in what's going to happen, they may or may not even know what your wishes are, it becomes a very stressful situation. And so I think to relieve people of that stress, it's imperative that people plan ahead. Do the research, decide what you want. It's very similar to the do not resuscitate orders in the medical community. And there's a lot of thought that needs to go into that. And it's the same idea, so that you relieve the burden to another person that they're not prepared to handle. You make the decisions in advance as best you can. But our society is such that it doesn't want to discuss it. The problem is, when you plan ahead, your thoughts and your consciousness are drawn to death. So you want to do that planning as quickly as possible and not dwell on it, not contemplate all the different kinds of things that the mortuary is going to try and sell you. Just move forward and do it.
Yeah.
make your plans, get it done legally and practically, make your children aware of what you want done, and then don't even think about it again. If you don't have the funds, then check with the mortuary what will happen, what needs to happen, what is the procedure, so you can explain it to your children.
Okay.
You know, what I told my children is I don't have the resources to have a fancy funeral, and I don't want them spending their money for that, so just when they go to the mortuary, tell them that the only thing I'm entitled to is a pauper's funeral, which means the least cost possible. And that's in Georgia, though. I had a friend who passed away about 2 years ago, and at that time, they wouldn't bury him without a payment of $2,000, which his family didn't have. And some Muslim people stepped up and made that donation for them. And so he was buried in a pauper's grave, according to Jewish traditions, within, I think it was 2 days that he was buried.
Right.
So that's, you know, you have to do your own investigation as to what's involved. But I think that the money that's spent on a funeral is total waste. I'd rather put it to life rather than death.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's going to be reincarnation unless Mashiach comes today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that with that knowledge, it becomes a very different calculation than other people thinking that this life is the only life. And they want to be, you know, have this memory, and that's where you get all of these monuments in cemeteries, all this money that's invested in the death industry. You know, to me, it doesn't make sense, but it's because I have this understanding and this knowledge about reincarnation.
Right. And
as long as we're talking about death, which I don't really want to do too often, but I want to make people aware that there is an organization that is an Orthodox organization that is halakhically correct for donating body parts, which a lot of people don't think they can do, and the truth is that there are parts of the body, and there are procedures that follow that. And just for the recording, the name of the organization is titled the Halakhic Organ Donor Society, and their phone number is 470-210-5268. My mistake. Disregard that. Let me find out. The phone number for the organization is 212-213-5087. Are there any other questions?
This question doesn't pertain to this, but I want to call you tomorrow about the half shekel. What would be a good time to call? What would be a good time to call?
If you call the tomorrow anytime between 9:30 and 11 in the morning,
okay,
or after 2 in the afternoon. And if I'm not available, just leave a message and I will call you back. Leave me a message. What's a good time for you to me to reach you? But usually in that range of hours, I should be able to speak with you about it.
Okay.
Any other questions? Everyone have a beautiful evening.
Okay. You the same.
Thank you, Hannah.
Tomorrow's classes are at 4:30 for a deeper Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock for a regular Zohar class for the Parashah of Truma. Shabbat. Well, it's a little early for Shabbat Shalom, so I'll just say Shalom. Have a beautiful, beautiful evening.
You too. Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom. And you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.